Chapter 17, Plan C. Hi, BB, Jewel says, pinching my waist. How is your weekend? Fine. Yours? My weekend was not fine at all. What am I going to do? My father is never going to break it off with STB if our plans keep backfiring. Crazy. We went to Sean's on Friday. Groan. Was it fun? Perhaps a pipe burst and the apartment had to be evacuated. It was the best, Melissa interrupts. Too bad you couldn't make it. Hope coming today wasn't too much of an inconvenience. She's lying on her back on a cafeteria table, her chin pointed up at the ceiling as though she's tanning. Excuse me, what is with the attitude? London shows up 20 minutes late, clad in cherry red. Red sweatpants, red tank top, red running shoes. She looks as if she's bleeding. We spend the next 2 hours practicing, and I have to say, I'm pretty good. I just can't get that move, Jewel complains, hands on her hips. The spin at the end? I ask, shuffling over to her. Let me show you. Melissa butts between us. I can show her, she says, grinding her teeth. Why does she look as if she wants to bite my head off? Jewel was my friend first. Really, this chick has some nerve. What's your problem? She points a finger at my face. You're my problem. Uh-oh, this is getting a wee bit heavy for me. She's not going to want to fight me, is she? I have no idea how to fight. That's Miri's department, and she's way taller than I am, so I'm pretty sure I'd lose. The other dancers are staring. Liz, you've got to chill, Jewel warns. Melissa looks as if she's about to yell at all of us, but instead, she storms out of the cafeteria. Jewel shrugs as if this happens all the time. I'll go get her. She chases her out of the room. What was that? Did I miss something? I ask the other girls.
She's such a prima donna. Just ignore her.
But what did I do?
She asked Raph to spring fling and was not pleased when she heard he'd already asked you.
Melissa likes Raph? I ask. That's news to me.
Yeah, Steffi says. She's sitting on the floor, stretching. I didn't know until Friday, when she freaked out. She actually puked in the bathroom.
I heard she might be bulimic, Dory says.
She's so pathetic, London adds, then waves us closer. When Laura dropped out, Melissa begged Mercedes to let her be Raph's partner for the formal wear number. She can't stand Gavin. She claims he's a goth freak who steps on her feet. She lowers her voice. But Mercedes can't stand her and said no. She looks around the room. Why don't we break for lunch? Everyone's coming in 30 minutes anyway.
Steffi, Dory, and I head back to our lockers. So that's why Melissa is so rude to me, huh? I say. Because of Raph.
My hair must look like crap, Steffi says, reparting her hair into new pigtails. What were you saying? Oh, right. Liz. I'm sure it doesn't help that Jewel's your new best friend. They used to be inseparable.
My new best friend? Jewel and I were best buds for 10 years before we even knew Melissa existed. But to these girls, I didn't exist before the show. They probably think I transferred to JFK in February. Something occurs to me. If Mercedes and London don't like Melissa, why is she choreographing the freshman dance?
Because of her mom. London thought that if she was nice to her, she'd get to be in a video.
It ain't going to happen with those thighs, Steffi comments.
What thighs? London has no thighs. Are these girls insane?
They're massive, Dory agrees. A junior who saw them in the flesh in the Hamptons last summer said they're all cottage cheesy.
Just because Melissa was the best dancer doesn't mean she knows how to string together a routine, Steffi declares. She snaps an elastic on her pigtail. So, what do you girls want for lunch? Mixed or low-fat Caesar?
I'd suggest burgers, but they'd probably faint if I so much as mouthed the word.
calories, carbs, grams of fat. But before I can even think about lunch, I need to have something cleared up. What do you mean, was the best dancer? As in past tense. What happened? Steffi snorts. You did. I'm known as the best dancer in the cast? Imagine if that goes on my yearbook caption. Best dancer. Awesome. Much, much cooler than math genius. Although, together they make me look pretty well-rounded. Perfect for college applications. I'm starting to feel sorry for Liz. After all, I've stolen her boyfriend, best friend, title, and potential Ivy League position. My sympathy subsides after lunch when I sense her sending virtual poisonous darts at my head. If Melissa were a witch, I'd be a cat for sure. Not even catnip. The glowering gets worse when the rest of the cast, specifically Raph, shows up. Hey, he says after giving me a quick kiss on the cheek. I missed you at Sean's.
He kissed me. He missed me.
I was at my dad's. He tosses his coat onto a table and unravels his gray wool scarf from around his neck.
You go every second weekend?
Yeah.
Good thing the dance falls on an odd weekend, huh?
Yup, I say quickly. Nothing else important happening on that weekend. Nope, nothing at all. Especially not my dad's wedding. Sigh. I have got to take care of that. When I finally arrive home at 7 that night, I discover that the elevator is broken. Again. I trudge up the stairs, and even though I'm exhausted, I am far less out of breath than I was a few weeks ago. I open the door to find my mother, hands on her hips, glaring at me.
Freeze, young lady.
Uh-oh. The apartment reeks of smoke, so I know I'm in trouble. We must have been found out, outed from the broom closet. She must have been tidying Miri's room and come across Miri's lists of spells. I think before you say anything, you should know...
Rachel, I was expecting you hours ago. You have to let me know where you are.
Her cigarette ashes fall onto the floor. Very classy.
I pictured you lying on some subway platform, hurt. I even called Tammy looking for you.
Yes, we have not been outed. Shows how psychic I am. Sorry, Mom. I'll try to remember to call. Tammy must have been surprised. We've barely spoken since I had to cancel our after-school get-together. We're not ignoring each other. We say hello and goodbye, but we've been sitting with other people in class. Mom crouches down to wipe up the spilled ash, then wags her finger at me.
No, you will call, or you won't be in the show.
I swallow hard. Too much is riding on the show to not be allowed to be in it now. If you bought me a cell phone, then you'd be able to call me.
There is no reason for a 14-year-old to have a cell phone. But if you want one so badly, save up.
There is a reason if you don't know where I am, I say, and slip off my coat. I bet Dad would buy me one. She turns around and marches into the kitchen.
So ask him. Let's talk about something else.
Maybe I will, I say, following her. She gives the bubbling pot on the stove a stir.
Miri mentioned that you're taking her to the peace rally this Saturday. That's nice of you. Can you pass me the olive oil?
Peace rally? Oh, right. I lift myself onto the white counter so I can reach into the cupboard. I hand my mom the bottle. Then I stay seated where I am and swing my feet. I forgot about my sister's bargain. And to think Miri was giving me grief about ditching her today when I already generously agreed to take her to this peace rally. Outside. In the cold. That's a pretty sisterly thing to do. Unless I happen to have fashion show practice at that time. Uh-oh. What time am I going to this peace rally with Miri? I ask, slightly panicked. My mom shrugs.
Sometime in the afternoon. I'm going to the office while you're there. We're swamped with summer honeymoon planning. I'm sorry I've been at work so late, but the good news is we've done some great business. Did I tell you I was nominated as one of New York Magazine's best travel agents?
That's cool, Mom, I say, a little distracted. Saturday morning is rehearsal for the freshman dance, the one Melissa is choreographing. And Saturday evening is the all-girl rehearsal, which means no problem for the peace rally, but no possible time for a date with Raph. I'm hoping he'll be at Mick's on Friday. Apparently, Mick's parents are going out of town. Again. And I should see plenty of Raph in the next 3 weeks, since we have dance rehearsals scheduled every day after school and every lunch period, as well as Saturdays and Sundays. There's no way I'll be able to go to Long Island in 2 weeks. Miri's going to freak. Next week, we have our designer fittings. I am so excited for my Izzy Simpson dress and to get my hair and makeup done at Bella Salon in Soho. I guess they're hoping all JFK's wannabe girls will book them for prom. The JFK administration lets us take a half day to prepare for the show. I've never had my makeup done. Maybe I won't wash my face before spring fling. Speaking of which, what am I wearing to spring fling? And how am I going to pay for it? I can't ask my mother to buy me something when she doesn't know I'm going. Maybe I can borrow the Izzy Simpson dress. I can't wait to wear it on stage in front of the entire school. Hello, Rachel, my mother asks while stirring the pasta. I seem to have lost you over there. Everything okay? What? She reaches for the strainer and then carries the pot to the sink. Excited for the big day? Am I ever. My 15 minutes of fame. I think it'll be a lot of fun. You're coming, right? I forgot to ask her if she wants any extra tickets. Everyone in the show gets 6 reserved seats right up front. I promised 3 to my dad, although I'm hoping STB and Prissy will be history by then. And there will be 1 for my mom, 1 for Miri, and I guess 1 for Tammy if we ever make up. My mom drops the strainer, and the pasta spills all over the sink. Am I coming? To your father's wedding? No, honey, I think I'll sit that one out. She picks up the noodles. Her fingers are shaking. My cheeks feel hot, and it's not from the stove. I thought you meant the fashion show. She presses her fists against her stomach and laughs. Her eyes squint into slivers. Oh, of course I'm coming to your show. How much are tickets? $10 apiece, I say, staring at my hands. They're my dad's hands. Long fingers, barely their cuticles, fat thumbs. All money goes to the senior prom, but you're guaranteed good seats. Weird how she won't be at the wedding. If there is a wedding, I mean. How do you live with a man for 15 years, have his children, and then not be invited to the most important day in his life? The second most important day, if you count the day he married you. We'll be there, my mom says, shoulders relaxed now that we're no longer talking about the wedding. I'm not dying to discuss it with her either, but if my ex-husband were getting married, I would want to know all the gory details. Unless the gory details hurt. I remember when my dad broke the news. It was a Friday night in August. Jewel and I had spent the afternoon in Central Park working on our tans for the fast-approaching first day of high school, the same tan that I later accidentally exfoliated off with a Dead Sea mud mask. Miri and I took the 6 o'clock train to Port Washington, and when they picked us up, we went straight to Al Dente, a fancy Italian restaurant. I didn't notice the rock until halfway through my Caesar salad. STB, we christened her later that night, was wearing a glittering diamond the size of an apple. I nearly choked on an anchovy. I'm not a fan of them on a good day. I stared in horror. Is that? My dad squeezed STB's bare shoulder. She was wearing a white silk strapless top with her black pants, and announced, Jennifer and I have decided to get married. I almost barfed the croutons across the linen tablecloth. Miri's eyes filled with tears, My father assumed they were tears of happiness and said, "Look how excited the girls are." And then his glass of red wine spilled all over STB's top, which thankfully killed the hallmark moment for them. In retrospect, the wine mishap must have been Miri's subconscious at work, since no one even touched his glass. My dad blamed the table's uneven legs. Way to go, Miri. When we arrived home on Sunday, we found my mother washing her weekend dishes. As Miri opened her mouth, I tried telepathically to tell her, "Don't say anything, don't tell." But it didn't work. She said, "Daddy's getting married." And the happy to see us expression vanished from Mom's face. Her cheeks puffed up as if she were blowing a bubble, and she put down the plate she was holding and slowly crumpled onto the kitchen floor. The water in the sink continued running. "I'm sorry," Miri whispered, shocked at the effect of her words. Then my sister started to cry. I didn't know if it was because of the pain she felt or the pain she had just caused. And then I started to cry. I sat down next to my mom and buried my head in her lap. I felt her fingers running through my hair. I didn't want to look up, didn't want to know if she was crying too. I couldn't bear it. How could he do that? How could he leave us and marry someone else? How could she let that happen? Then my sister sat down on the floor and told me that everything would be okay, and the two of them braided my hair until I felt calm. Except for mentioning a few mandatory details. "Sorry, Mom, I won't be spending that weekend with you. It's the you-know-what." I wasn't planning on ever talking about the wedding. "Can you get two plates down?" she asks now. Another wedding conversation safely avoided. Now all we have to do is avoid the wedding. I spend the entire next day at school trying to come up with Plan C. When I get home, after an exhausting day of classes and both lunch and after-school fashion show rehearsal, my mom is reading a romance novel, and Miri is grunting and counting in Korean behind her closed door. "Hana! Ha! Tul! Ha! Set!" I burst in to find her barefoot and snap-kicking at her reflection in the mirror. "We have less than 3 weeks left." I'm panicked, practically hyperventilating. "Why are you wasting time with anything besides the plan?" "I have other responsibilities besides the wedding," she says. "Like taekwondo, schoolwork, knit." She snap-kicks and grunts one last time before sitting down at her desk. "Don't you?" Who has time for responsibilities during a crisis like this? Although, now that I think about it, I have a math midterm on Wednesday. And I'm supposed to finish Huckleberry Finn for next Wednesday, which shouldn't be a problem because I can normally read a book in a week. I'll start with 50 pages tonight. And I have a French midterm next Thursday and... Stop. Must keep my priorities straight. What are we going to do? "We've run out of options," Miri says. And that's when I notice what I never, ever thought I'd see in a billion years. "What is that?" I shriek. "What? That?" I point to her fingers, which are wrapped in band-aids, willingly. "Have you lost your mind?" She turns bright red and looks down at her notebook. "I don't want to ruin my nail beds." I know that's not the only reason. Too bad she took the truth spell antidote and is no longer being honest. "Are you getting soft on me? On her? We have not run out of options. Magic is unlimited." "Well, I don't know what else to do," she says, blinking her long eyelashes repeatedly. "That's because she's not even trying. Where is A squared?" I spot it beside her bed on the floor underneath a sleeping Tigger. "On the floor? Is this how you treat an authentic spell book?" I tilt it sideways so that the fur ball slides off, and I heave it onto her desk. "Look at the book. It's right in front of you." Must think. Wait a sec. Right in front of you. My heart rate speeds up.
We're missing the obvious.
She flips open the book.
What's the obvious?
We need him to stop loving her.
We already tried that,
she says slowly, as if I'm in preschool and she's teaching me the alphabet.
Everything we do makes him like her more.
Not everything, I say, suddenly giddy and lightheaded, as if I'm floating in a sea of helium. What if he falls in love with someone else? Miri flicks through the pages.
With whom? He doesn't know anyone else.
Yes, he does. I raise my eyebrows and give her my best hello look.
Our mother?
Miri says, finally understanding.
Yes, our mother. We make him fall in love with Mom.
We're both silent, savoring the sweetness of the possibility like melting chocolate ice cream in our mouths. After a few moments, she looks up at me, excitement creeping into her cheeks.
But emotion spells aren't permanent, she says, her voice creaking. Especially love spells. It doesn't matter,
I whisper.
By then, the wedding will be canceled.
Miri shakes her head slowly.
What about Mom? She'll be hurt all over again. Don't you see? It won't wear off. If he fell in love with her once, he can do it again. He just needs a shove in the right direction, a push to help him realize that he made the biggest mistake in his life by leaving. This is perfect. Not only will we be saving Dad from marrying STB, we'll be getting him back with Mom. We'll be killing two birds with one stone.
Dad and Mom back together,
Miri says wistfully.
She's still in love with him,
I say. My heart is thumping fast and hard, as if I just ran up 100 flights of stairs. Miri nods.
I know. She still has that sweatshirt. You know, the ratty gray one, the one he... The sweatshirt,
I say.
Perfect. We can use that for the spell. Let's go get it. She's reading,
Miri says, jumping from her chair and pacing the room.
Here's what we're going to do. I'll distract her when she's making dinner. I'll ask her about the witch trials. She loves talking about that. Do you know that we can trace our roots to Salem? Isn't that cool? Mom says we still have relatives there, and I can't wait to meet them. I didn't even know we had family in Massachusetts. I asked her if that's where Aunt Sasha lives, but she still wouldn't talk about...
I tapped the side of my head. Focus, Miri. Focus. We can take a road trip next year. Right now, let's work on Operation Steal Back Dad's Sweatshirt. She jumps from foot to foot.
Sorry. Okay. You sneak into her room and find the sweatshirt. Then, after dinner, I'll put together the spell. Let's hope we have the ingredients in the house. And then we'll slip it under Mom's pillow before she goes to sleep.
She's going to sleep on the entire sweatshirt? Don't you think she'll notice?
Maybe we'll cut off the arm and just use that.
She flips through the book until she finds the appropriate love spell.
Let me get a head start on the other ingredients.
At 8, my mom finally gets off her bed and heads to the kitchen, deciding it's time to make us dinner. Maybe I should put on appropriate spy clothes. Just what do spies wear these days, anyway? Maybe I should stop worrying about my clothes and go find the stupid sweatshirt before she's finished in the kitchen. Her bedroom door is open, and I slither in. Now, if I wore a sweatshirt that was being hidden by an ex-wife, where would I be? Under the bed? I drop to my knees and lift the bed skirt. No, but she could certainly sweep under there. Maybe she keeps it with her other sweatshirts. Camouflage, so we won't notice. I open her dresser and search through the drawers. One shelf? Nope. Two? Nope. Three? Nope. Where is it? I check in the closet. No Dad's sweatshirt, but plenty of purses, shoes, and old concert t-shirts. Would it kill her to buy some new clothes? The microwave dings.
Uh-oh, time's running out. Where is it?
I rifle through her bra and underwear drawer. She could use an update here. All her lingerie is beige. No wonder she doesn't have a boyfriend. She'll need to invest in some new stuff now that Dad has been exposed to STB's unmentionables, because I've seen them drying around the house, and they're all pink and frilly. At least now I know what to get Mom for her birthday. Is it creepy to get your mother lingerie? I've checked everywhere, and it's gone. Impossible. I searched the dresser again, and then the closet. It must be under one of these purses. Why does she have so many purses and wedge sandals? Does anyone even wear wedges anymore? Where is the stupid sweatshirt? Busted. Mom, standing at her door, wondering why I'm in her closet. Why am I in her closet? I try to appear nonchalant by twisting my ponytail around my wrist. Yes, Mom? What are you doing? I must think fast. Why can I never think fast when I tell myself to think fast? Looking for shoes. Yeah, I need a lot of shoes for the fashion show. You know, a different pair for every number, so I thought you might have something I could borrow. I hope I didn't already tell her the designers are lending us heels. She looks confused. But you wear a 6 and I'm a 7. Righty-o. I know, but some of these shoes are so old, I thought you might have bought them when you were a smaller size. She shrugs. All right, but dinner's ready. That was close. Close, but no cigar. Or sweatshirt. A few minutes into our plates of revolting peanut tofu, my mom throws down her fork. What's wrong with you? She demands. Stop making faces. It's not that bad. It's a new recipe and it's healthy. First of all, it is that bad. The lumps of tofu are jiggling on my plate like jello. But that isn't why I'm making faces. I'm attempting to illustrate to Miri that we're having serious sweatshirt locating issues. I wasn't making faces about the food. I was thinking that I couldn't find the shoes I wanted. I don't know where they are. I'm thinking you must have thrown it out. Oops. I mean, thrown them out, I correct. What shoes? My mom asks. You know, the silver ones. What silver ones? Distraction needed. Mom, this recipe is delicious. She beams with pleasure. See? You have to give new tastes a chance. I'll definitely make it again. Fantastic, yo. When we're finally finished, Miri and I clear together. It's technically her turn again, finally, but she set the table for me while I was rummaging in the closet. And my mom goes to her room. I can't find it anywhere, I whisper. I even checked the wash, despite my skepticism that she ever cleaned it. Miri's head wobbles from side to side. That's so sad. I know, but that's why we're doing this. He's going to fall madly in love with her again, and she'll be happy. I dump the leftover tofu into the garbage. Good riddance. Right, except what do we do if the spell wears off? I told you, once he's out of STB's grasp, he'll stay in love with Mom. Miri's brown eyes widen with doubt. So I decide to tell her what I've always suspected, but never wanted to admit, even to myself. The step monster was probably responsible for them breaking up. What are you talking about? Miri asks, rinsing off a dish. Come on, think about it. He claims to have met her 6 months after he left Mom. Isn't it possible he met her, before? Miri pales. You mean he cheated on Mom? We both stand still, listening to the sound of the water. And then Miri rips off each of her band-aids. She has got to go. If we can't find the sweatshirt, we have to find something else that belongs to him. It can't be a gift he gave. It has to be something that was his personally. Do you have anything? His math trophy? I think she'd notice a metal statue under her pillow, Miri says. if she didn't look so forlorn, probably because of what I told her about Dad's quasi or otherwise affair. I might laugh.
So what do we do?
I ask, filling the baking tray with soap to let it soak.
Wait until next weekend?
She sighs.
I guess so. Although that only leaves 1 week for him to call off the wedding. What do you think?
I blow a soap bubble over her head.
We have no choice.
So much for unlimited options.